Today, on this episode of the PeerDirect Special Spotlight.
And the guidelines inspired me to do this study because the guidelines say that we should check for proteinuria at least every 6 to 12 months.
Today, Drs. Petrie and Wolfson join the podcast to discuss ACR 2025, risk of proteinuria in patients with lupus nephritis, and the timing of kidney biopsy in patients with SLE. In this PeerDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative supporters.
Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Wolfson from PeerDirect, and it's my privilege and honor to be joined today by Dr. Michelle Petrie. Dr. Petrie is a professor of medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and director of the Hopkins Lupus Center. Dr. Petrie, welcome and thank you for joining me.
It's my pleasure to be with you here today.
So at the American College of Rheumatology Convergence in 2025, you presented a couple of elegant studies exploring the risk of proteinuria in patients with lupus nephritis and the timing of kidney biopsy in patients with SLE. Would you share with us some of the results and insights from these abstracts? So why don't we start with the one on proteinuria?
The ACR recently published guidelines on lupus nephritis, and the guidelines inspired me to do this study because the guidelines say that we should check for proteinuria at least every 6 to 12 months or when the patient is experiencing an extra renal flare. But I wondered if this was correct. Now, the natural history of lupus nephritis is that there's a big peak at the time of diagnosis, but then patients can develop it up to 10 years after diagnosis. We know from the SLIC study that there are four antibodies that contribute to risk: anti-C1q, anti-DNA, anti-Smith, and low complement. We wanted to derive a score using autoantibodies and complement, but also demographics, to predict who would develop proteinuria within 10 years. We used our Hopkins lupus cohort. There were over 1,400 patients who had sufficient data to contribute. Our results showed that anti-Smith, anti-DNA, anti-RNP, and low complement all contributed to the risk, but so did race and gender. Now, for example, if a patient was Black and had anti-Smith, they have an 8.6% risk of developing proteinuria in the next 10 years. It's a very simple score. We can add up the number of points for each of these factors. If the patient had every single risk factor, they'd have a 49% chance of having proteinuria in the next 10 years. Now, we compared how the risk score did with the actual data, and it almost overlaps completely. But this is one cohort, and obviously it needs to be proved in other cohorts.
Well, thank you, Dr. Petrie. It really sounds like using the score would allow clinicians to identify a high-risk subset of SLE patients to target for more frequent evaluation for nephritis.
Absolutely. So instead of every 6 to 12 months, if the patient had a very high-risk score, you might want to check every 3 months. So again, I always like to use data to answer the clinical questions.
Terrific. So let's move on so you can review the other presentation on timing of kidney biopsy in patients with SLE.
Rich, it turns out that mortality from lupus nephritis has actually gone up. So we have to change how we do things. All of our guidance says to wait until the patient has 500 milligrams of urine protein before we biopsy. But the guidance is wrong. And I think it was first shown to be wrong in a study that was done by Anna Broder and colleagues of patients who had biopsies done when they had less than 500 milligrams of urine protein. Of those patients, 50% progressed, and the median time to progression was 1 year. So I think the key to improving the clinical outcomes is we have to treat early. And multiple studies have shown that early diagnosis and treatment leads to better outcomes. In this study, which is part of an NIH and NIH Foundation funded omics study, Of the patients who had biopsies done before they hit 500 milligrams, 71% had lupus nephritis, and 46% of the total patients needed treatment. Now, it turns out that we had biopsies in these lupus patients that did not show lupus nephritis. Some of them showed glomerulosclerosis, and some showed arteriosclerosis. But I would argue that's important to know as well. It turned out that the most important predictor of having lupus nephritis on one of these early biopsies was a history of low complement. Now, we were able to confirm some of our previous findings. There are urine biomarkers that are found in these early biopsies, like CD163. So we hope someday we won't have to do kidney biopsies. We had some surprises. It turns out there were some B cells in the blood that identified membranous. So someday we won't have to do kidney biopsies because we'll figure out what class the person has. But the final surprise was the lupus patients whose biopsies did not show lupus nephritis still had the interferon gene signature all over the kidney. So there's so much we still have to learn about lupus.
Well, it certainly sounds like clinicians working in lupus should be referring their patients for biopsy at lower UPCR cutoffs, especially when they have other risk factors for lupus nephritis. I want to thank you again, Dr. Pucci, for joining me for this great review of your ACR presentations.
It's been a lot of fun for me to relive the ACR with you.
And thank you to our audience. Please watch the other modules in this series, where we'll continue to explore interesting topics in the world of lupus and lupus nephritis.
And that's today's special spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review in your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, what's my flash briefing? Thanks today to our guests, Drs. Pietri and Wolfson. Join me next time for the episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.